she's telepathic. Call it black girl magic. Yeah, she scares the government. Deja vu atomic. We go missing by the hundreds. Ain't nobody checking for us. Ain't nobody checking for us. The camera loves us. Oscar doesn't. Ain't nobody checking for us. They want us in the kitchen.
Magic and other news and things about black girls being awesome with a squee. I am your co-host Enda, also known as Enda's Corner on Twitter.
I am Dee Dee, and I go by Death's Daughter on Twitter.
And collectively, you can find us at Black Girl Squee on Twitter. Email us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. Our podcast is available everywhere, including Apple Podcast, Google Play Podcast, and also your favorite podcatcher via our RSS feed. All of our episodes at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. As a bit of housekeeping, we have a spoiler policy in that we spoil shit. So if we talk about a TV show, a film, a book we read, or anything like that, spoil it. Sorry, not sorry. With that, we will get right into our squee-worthy news. And Dee Dee, you want to start us off?
Sure. Laverne Cox is gracing the cover of Cosmopolitan South Africa, and she is making history as the first trans woman to be on the cover of any Cosmo magazine. This is, Cosmo is making a concerted effort to challenge heteronormativity, in their, Valentine's issue. So, Laverne will be on the February cover. And, if you've seen it, I think she's tweeted it out, from her, Twitter account. She looks lovely as always. So, making history and looking great at it, we give a big squee!
Alright, so, topic, we're going to talk about a woman you might have seen on social media lately, Shay. At the SAG Awards, she asked a question of Sterling K. Brown and just sparked this entire discussion about the treatment of black press, like type of celebrity functions and things. And so what she did, after Sterling K. Brown, he made history as the first black man to win a Best Actor at the SAG Awards. Wow. And also won a second award for This Is Us. She asked him as a member of the press corps, and he actually took to heart what she said, thought about it, and Jaleesa, Ms. Lachey, she provided a link to the video of her question and Mr. Brown's answer, and she said, "I will no longer be silent about the lack of opportunities for black journalists or white counterparts." Want to play that audio of their exchange?
Sure.
Like on the face the same way. Okay.
Hello.
Congratulations, Jaleesa from Blackstreet TV. Thank you for always being a true reflection and representation of black love. Let
thank
me say
you.
That.
Appreciate it.
You're always vocal about the differences between black actors and white actors and opportunities. So apologies in advance for this loaded question, but I do think it needs to be addressed.
Go for it.
Are you aware of the disparities between the opportunities given to black journalists in comparison to our white counterparts? And do you think there's any plan in Hollywood to make sure that the media room starts to reflect the diversity that we're beginning to see in the industry? I told you it's a loaded question, but it needs to be addressed.
Just taking a look around the room, like, you got a point. It's a lot of white people. You know what? I'd never paid attention. and shame on me for not having done so. But maybe this conversation is the beginning of something taking place, you know? It is, you get that conversation when you're a young person, you gotta work twice as hard to get just as far. And that, you know, I don't know if that holds true exactly or whatnot, but it's something that's been etched, burned into my mind, you know, to be able to receive similar opportunities. The latitude for mistakes is less. If we had President number 44 talking about grabbing people by the vagina, I don't think he'd still be working, you know, he wouldn't last it 8 years. So it is representation, diversity, making sure that everyone's voice can be heard is important. So thank you for bringing it up to me. I'm sorry I hadn't paid attention. Sure.
Has been building up because Jaleesa Lachey has noticed that she's been shut out of some media events, and or she'll notice that seats have been given to white publications that don't know anything about the people who are nominated. She tweeted about an experience she had at the recent NAACP Image Awards, where she overheard a white reporter asking another white reporter what Get Out was. Which was one of the nominated films at the NAACP Image Awards. It's also nominated for an Oscar. So,
it was also one of the highest grossing films of the year.
The most talked about movie of the year. The most. Like, nobody was talking about any other movie more than Get Out. Like, okay.
Oh, man.
Why were they there if they didn't know anything about... Why were they there? And it just lets us know the reason why why events like the BET Awards and the NAACP Awards and why black actors and other actors of color get such bad coverage in mainstream press is because of stuff like this, because white journalists don't prepare, don't seem to want to prepare if the subject matter and or the cast doesn't look like them or doesn't relate to them. Or doesn't center them is what it really is. So, I understand her frustration, and it sparked a discussion among other members of the black press, people from Black Girl Nerds have been shut out of media events.
Sundance was just this past week, and I'm seeing like a lot of the black female critics saying they could count like on one hand how many other black women they would see, you know, for these films. Like, and about like 39 black cast films played at Sundance this year. I don't believe the black press for Black Panther, which is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, black people, not just the black press, like, made, you know, Black Panther trend like 2 years before the film is even set to be released, before anything was even shot from the film. But you don't go, you know, to black press and say, do you want to cover this here? Do you want, you know, this, that? We got press stuff, you know, you don't court them? Really?
Yeah, I mean, we're the only ones who know most of these actors and can actually list their filmographies without having to consult IMDb first.
Yes. Yes.
But y'all don't want to let these black actors talk to people who actually appreciate their work.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
And won't have to turn to the neighbor like, who is this?
Who
if you even
is...
bother to ask instead of just misnaming them and assuming they're someone else.
Who is Chadwick Boseman? Who is this?
You mean that guy who's like the number one foreign actor in China?
Michael B. Jordan? I'm sorry, let me stop.
Oh my gosh, but yeah, it's like, oh, that is just, that's irritating as hell. It is so irritating.
It really is. Another person, Chris from Movie Trailer Reports Network, had a couple of stories to tell about him getting shut out of interviewing the cast of Luke Cage, but he just snuck in anyway, because he knows the game by now, that they're going to lie to you when they see that you're a part of the black media and say that, oh, all the seats are filled. And they're not. There's another incident, he said, where there was a Supergirl press event, and the star of the show, the woman who plays Supergirl, couldn't attend. But Macad Brooks, who plays Jimmy Olsen, was there. And a lot of white journalists just said, well, if the star isn't going to be there, there's no point. So,
as if there are people just tuning in just to see him anyway.
I mean, he's really good looking. There are people that just watch for him. and stopped watching when his role got diminished. So, yes. I can feel the frustration that led her to ask this question while, you know, in the midst of Sterling Brown's, you know, celebratory moment. I mean, he's making history in 2018 because these awards shows continue to be so white.
Yep.
Just like the press rooms.
Yep. Okay, so, well, I could stay on this all day.
Yeah.
Good on Jaleesa Lachey for bringing that up. So, to her, we give a big...
squeeze!
Right.
On to more black women journalists. Jemele Hill is leaving SportsCenter to write for The Undefeated. The Undefeated is ESPN's sports and culture site, where they purport to stay at the intersection of race, culture, sports, and politics. Jemele Hill says this was her decision. She says, quote, I know it may not be the sexiest story to tell, but the truth is I miss writing and reporting, end quote. She's already completed 1 year of her 4-year contract with ESPN, and she'll continue to be with the network. She just won't appear on SportsCenter. Her co-host Michael Smith will be handling those duties alone. but I'm hoping that someone maybe like Carrie Champion, another black woman journalist, might join him someday in the future. Jemele Hill goes on in an interview with Variety to say that the function of SportsCenter is not necessarily built for anchor commentary. So much of my career at ESPN, almost exclusively at some points, has been in commentary. They hired me as a columnist. I've been giving my opinion since day one. SportsCenter really wasn't my calling. So, that's just, she's telling you plain right there. I was hired to give commentary, to be a columnist, and, you know, SportsCenter really wasn't my thing. So she's going back to what she truly wants to do. Mm-hmm. Hill will likely appear on documentaries and news magazine shows. And there's a possibility that the podcast that started this all for Smith and Hill might come back. And that being the His and Hers podcast. So she says if they can work through logistics that this podcast might come back. So I'm happy about that. And I'm happy that she's moving to Washington for the new job. So welcome, Jemele. And I just find it funny that after people in the White House were clamoring for her to lose her job, she's getting a new job right up under their noses. So sometimes you got to think that there's a higher power out there looking out.
The ancestors.
This is juicy. I hope that she has April D. Ryan's number and they can chit chat. Because that would be good. Because yes. April's from Baltimore and Jemele is from Detroit, and these are two black women y'all that you do not want to mess with. So all the best for Jemele. I'm glad that she's got the agency to you know, decide what's best for her and actually achieve it. And so she did nothing wrong. All she did was tell the truth, and yep. She got hell for it. But so I hope she has a great time, and she's already doing great work. She recently wrote a great piece on the Michigan State. I don't want to call it a scandal, but. The events going on at Michigan State with Nassar and the huge cover up from everybody involved in Michigan State sports. Mm-hmm. So please check that out, and also join us in giving Jemele a big squeeze.
All right. Okay, on to some more Black Girl Magic. We're going to talk a bit about the Oscar nominations, but before that, I just want to mention, we mentioned the SAG Awards earlier, and I wanted to say that Marsai Martin, the child from Black-ish, she won a Best Supporting Actress SAG for, Best Supporting Actress, and she is also soon about to, you know, executive produce and I think direct her own project. And she is just 13, and you know, she along with the other black women on that red carpet were just gorgeous. So just wanted to send a quick to her and to what she does next, and also congratulate her on her clapback game. Okay, so Oscar nominations. We had a few good ones here. Mary J. Blige, which I'm still just kind of like, wow, you know, over. She got two nominations, one for Best Supporting Actress and another for Original Song. And this makes her the first person to ever be nominated in the same year for those two categories. She was in the film Mudbound, which is directed by Dee Reese. And Dee Reese won, got a nomination for Adapted Screenplay, well-deserved. And another nomination we had was Octavia Spencer for Best Supporting Actress. And Octavia's nomination puts her in a place to tie with Viola Davis as the most nominated black actresses. But they only have three nods apiece, which is, it's actually kind of despicable considering, one, the amount of talent they have, and two, some other really, really awesome black actresses who should have some more nods, you know, to them as well. And I mean, but right now I'm just actually really happy that they have these nods, and still just really, really upset that Dee Reese did not get a Best Director nod for Mudbound, because she deserved it. She deserved all the nods. Mudbound should have been one of those films with like 13 nominations like The Shape of Water, because it's like this perfect Oscar bait film, and they didn't nominate her for Best Director. So
I mean, if you're going to nominate The Darkest Hour and Dunkirk and period films like that, you can give that last slot to Mudbound. And I don't know why they didn't.
They have 10 allotted slots and only use 9. Could have deleted some of the ones they got, because not all of them, I'm pretty sure not all of them deserved it.
I know Three Billboards shouldn't have been up there. And I don't know why The Darkest Hour is up there. They really, the Academy really needs to think twice before giving Gary Oldman an Oscar, because they need to think about it.
Because y'all skip James Franco, Gary Oldman is the same person, just older.
So, you know, Uma Thurman is just waiting with the receipts in hand. So if you pull the trigger, you're not going to hear the end of this until you're not even going to hear the end of it next year. Cause if he wins and he has to give out Best Actress next year, it's going to be Casey Affleck all over again.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So, I mean, Oscar nominations, they hate black women. I'm like, you did not nominate Tiffany Haddish for Girls Trip. But y'all did have her come and do y'all announcements. And I knew as soon as I found out she was going to do the announcements that she didn't get a nod. So I was already giving them the finger for that, because she deserved that nod. She did the damn thing in Girls Trip, and she should have been acknowledged for that.
It's almost insulting to make her get up that early and announce all of the nominees, and she knowing that she wasn't going to be one of them. And the way y'all overlook black women directors is infuriating. And
very.
And you can't hide behind this whole, well, we don't think Netflix films are films, because you nominated The 13th as a documentary film.
Yep.
You just didn't want to acknowledge the director.
And Mudbound got a theatrical release. That's the requirement. It got a theatrical release. You can't say it didn't qualify for that. I mean, you nominated it for everything else. Jeez. I'm just so... That just made me mad. So I finally, you know, got myself in the mood to watch Mudbound. I watched it, and I'm like, this is a good Oscar bait film, and I'm not mad at it. And even, you know, I don't really know who she is, but her name is Carey Mulligan. She's a white actress. Even she said, if Dee Reese was a white male, she would have got that nod for Best Director.
Carey Mulligan has been, you know, took a role that was meant for a Latina actress.
Was she the one in, like, Drive or something like that? Okay.
Because the director or somebody thought that she looked more...
Sympathetic.
No, that... she wanted to protect her. He wanted to protect her more than he would have anybody else. So.
Okay. So Carrie's trying to correct her shit.
Maybe.
But the thing is, she didn't lie.
No.
In that instance, she did not lie.
But yeah, Oscar thought they were slick, splitting the difference by nominating a black man, Jordan Peele, and a white woman, Greta Gerwig, Best Director. And they thought they were doing some great stuff. But Dee Reese should have been up there because she is black and a woman. And not just because she does great work.
She does. She is 3 for 3 in her films. She has not done a bad film yet.
So, I'm not going to be watching the Oscar Award show, but...
I might be watching Girls Trip.
I have my eye on these tweets, and I'm just waiting for...
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for the bullshit, because when they give that Oscar to Gary Oldman, it's gonna just a whole new reign of bullshit is going to start. And I got my popcorn ready for it.
I know. And nobody's going to let that slide. Nobody is going to let that slide.
I'm just waiting for Uma Thurman to come through with the receipts. Let's go. And a piping hot teapot. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm like, this is something else I could actually talk about all day too. But for now... For these ladies who got their nominations, we're just going to give them a big
scream! Also, Yance Ford is the first trans person to be nominated for an Oscar. So, congratulations to him.
Yes. His documentary Strong Island is on Netflix, too, I believe.
Hey. All right, so speaking of Miss Haddish, she is securing all of the bags lately. she could give a fuck about Oscars. and she recently signed a first look deal with HBO. So according to Shadow and Act, this is a 2-year deal where Haddish will develop new projects for the cable network. And this is just in addition to several projects that she already has lined up for 2018 and beyond. She's got a movie that she'll be starring in with Kevin Hart and Yvonne Orji from Insecure called Night School. She's going to be in a comedy on TBS with Tracy Morgan called The Last OG. And she also will executive produce several pictures like New Line's The Kitchen, Universal's The Temp, Paramount's Limited Partners, and, of course, The Oath, where she'll star with John Cho. And not to mention, her book, The Last Black Unicorn, has recently made the New York Times bestseller list. So
she is having such a spectacular year, and she's about to have another one.
And she's, I think she's like the new face for Groupon now.
Yes, she getting that Groupon money. Get all of it. All of it.
Like I said, securing all of the bags. All of them.
Yes.
So, go ahead, Tiffany.
All right.
We give you a big squeeze!
All right. So, that was our Scoop-worthy news. And we are going to move on to Catch the Fade. And so, Dee Dee, I think you got a few things to say about this first one here, so won't you tell us about this fade?
This just is just proof that all of your pretty words that you said about Black women after the special election in Alabama were full of shit. And you had no intentions on backing them up. Because in San Francisco, the interim mayor was ousted after, because the board thought she had too much power. It's only been about 6 weeks since Mayor Edwin Lee passed away, and the role of mayor went to London Breed, a Black woman. But she's already been voted out by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, who voted 72 to elect Supervisor Mark Farrell, a white dude, and voted 5-2 to oust London Breed. Breed is also president of the board, and was criticized for having too much power, and many feared that she would fill in valuable city government jobs if she stayed in power. I guess they were really worried that she'd fill them with other people of color. That's not in the article, but I'm reading between the lines.
Yeah.
So I think Breed is still planning to run for mayor in the election in June, so good luck to her. But for you to vote to kick her out as interim mayor, you know, just weeks after she was appointed interim mayor. This feels dirty. And I hope she wins in June and can, you know, tell all of these scared white people to kiss her black behind. And,
It's like you said, you know, you have all these people, listen to black women, let black women, you know, run everything. Oh, wait, we didn't want you to, like, actually have power to do anything. You know, we just wanted you to, you know, maybe look good as a token or, you know, better yet, power and, you know, stay behind us and be our, you know, attack dog or, you know, or have, give us our votes when we need. You know, because that's what we really want.
So, yeah. Fuck the San Francisco Board of Supervisors.
Yep.
And maybe y'all are the ones that have too much power.
Yes.
And, because didn't you say, like, there's that, there's housing issues in San Francisco and
people can't. It's like, yeah, it has like the second most above average highest cost of living in the country. and everything is gentrified. People who work in San Francisco can't afford to live there. You know, and, you know, you have people, you know, with houses and stuff, like renting out closets and garages, literally renting out closets for like thousands of dollars a month.
Good luck to London Breed, and to hell with the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. Check out Black Women in Politics if you really about getting black women elected and not fake like these people in San Francisco. Find out who's running in your area and support them. So, that's my fade. What you got?
All right. So, as you may have heard, or probably may not have heard, a couple of weeks ago, Taraji P. Henson starred in a film called Proud Mary. The reason you might not have heard about it is because the distributors, Sony Pictures and Norton Screen Gems, just completely dropped the ball on promoting this film. Just gave it like not one ounce of publicity when they have Taraji P. Henson in the starring role, and I believe also as executive producer. This was her baby. I'm sorry, but not promoting a film with Taraji P. Henson is a fucking disgrace, okay? When Taraji is a great actor, she never half-assed does anything. Second, about this time last year, black women were organizing groups and going out in snowstorms to see a film that Taraji was also headlining, Hidden Figures, and that film made money. Okay? Taraji P. Henson is a fucking Oscar-nominated actress, and y'all don't even promote her films. Okay? I swear, y'all will promote these mediocre-ass actresses who ain't got half the talent she does, and they are in pieces of trash, and they will get promoted to death. Like, and gotta make it out like, oh, you have to go see this and support them. No, the fuck I don't. Okay? If you don't give Taraji P. Henson the respect she's due for a film that she's in, I ain't going to see a white girl shit either. Okay, I mean,
And it's obvious the studio tried to bury the film. They canceled some Thursday screenings.
Yes.
They haven't been promoting it. Like, the most I've seen is a couple of promoted tweets on Twitter.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the trailers aired on TV prior to its release?
No, the only reason I even saw any of these trailers, you know, prior to, you know, the film being promoted is because black women on like Twitter and Tumblr were circulating it. That's the only reason I saw it.
And so all of these people that, you know, want the Black Widow film and are, want us to support Wonder Woman and Red Sparrow and all these other white women's films for feminism were nowhere to be seen or heard when it came to promoting Proud Mary. So, once again, you've shown who you really are and what you're really about.
Yeah. And I mean, also, everybody who's talking about you want a Black Widow film, I mean, Proud Mary, this is about an assassin. She's also over 40. You know, she's not somebody's mom. You know, she's not a side character. She's the fucking star.
I went to see the movie. I went to a matinee and there weren't very many people with me in the theater. It was a freezing cold day in January, but I went out to see it, and it's not a stinker of a film. It doesn't deserve to be buried in January. It's not the best film ever, but Taraji gives a great performance. The boy that she's protecting in the film gives a great performance. Billy Two Hands Brown is in it, and you wouldn't know that because nobody promoted the movie or aired the trailers. Danny Glover's in it. Margaret Avery's in it. Like, there's lots of reasons to go see this movie, and you know, you'll enjoy it if you don't hype it up to be the best thing ever. If you just want to watch Taraji kick some butt, you will enjoy the movie. There was no excuse, and if the rest of the movie trailers that I saw were for films on Sony Pictures, Screen Gems 2018 slate, then this is the first and last movie I will be watching by them, because their whole slate is really white, and it's really dull, too.
Yeah, and I just have to say, look, every film that black people are in, and also other people of color, every film that we're in does not have to be a prestige film. We can do popcorn films, too. Okay? I mean, sometimes you just want to be entertained and see people who bear some resemblance to you in these roles. We can have those films, too.
So, yeah. Biggest of fades goes to Sony Pictures Screen Gems for not even trying.
Yeah. So, yeah, fuck y'all. Don't be doing Taraji like that. Okay, on to a happier subject. Let's talk about Prince. And, Diddy, I'm going to let you start it, because I was actually thinking about him for this one, too. I mean, because for obvious reasons, but... Why don't you go ahead and tell us about our first nominee?
Well, I think I would be remiss if I didn't nominate Cress Williams, the star of CW's latest hit, Black Lightning, because it just premiered 2 weeks ago. And it's off to a great start. It's getting the best ratings of a CW show in the last 2 years. And it's retaining most of its of the Flash's audience. It comes on right after The Flash on Tuesdays. He's a big part of it because he plays the titular role, Black Lightning, aka Jefferson Pierce. Yes. And this show is not like any of the other superhero shows on the CW. Jefferson Pierce is a grown-ass man with grown-ass, black-ass problems. And the show is very, 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 very black.
Yes, very much so.
The first minutes of the first episode start out playing Strange Fruit while you see protesters, police, gang violence, there's a lot being said. There's a lot going on this show. And in the beginning of the second episode, we hear Al Green, Simply Beautiful. Like, they're not playing around. Like, the Akils are not playing around. And I'm talking about Salim Akil and Mara Brock Akil, who created Girlfriends and Being Mary Jane.
Yes.
If you want some black ass content, they're the ones to give it to you. And Kress is looking good in his three-piece suits, in his superhero crime-fighting suit. We see that booty. You're looking good, Kress. And to think that it's been 25 years since Living Single, and he still looks fine as hell.
Yes.
25 years. 25. Okay, sorry.
And no, I'm like, he still looks the same.
But he looked good. He might even look better now.
I actually think he does.
He got that beard with a little salt and pepper going in it.
Yes.
He got the low top shaved head.
Mm-hmm.
But he got that voice.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna bring back our girls. No, oh, help me, Jesus. I should not be feeling the way I do when he says that. Woo. And when he get that resolute, angry look on his face when he's about to go get them, Lord, help me, Jesus. So yes, Kress Williams, you still got it, and you can get it. well, let's move on. our next nominee, I think I'm just gonna be nominating a whole bunch of people who are set to appear in Black Panther, because I mean, that's half of Black Hollywood. And I'm gonna start out with Daniel Kaluuya, Oscar nominated Daniel Kaluuya for Best Actor in Get Out. And Daniel is a British actor whose parents are Ugandan immigrants. And he started out on the BBC's hit show Skins. But most recently, he was the star of Get Out. And he's going to play Wakabi in Marvel's Black Panther, set to come out next month. Can't wait. I'm
19 days.
Lord have mercy. Remember when it was 2 years?
I know.
Wow. We waited so long. I'm putting him here because he has beautiful skin.
Yes.
Whenever I see him talking about Black Panther, he just gets really excited. And it's fun to see people like the whole cast. Daniel, Lupita Nyong'o, when she geeks out about this, it's like she's us, but doubled, because she's actually in the movie. So she's she's geeking out like more than all of us even could. But there is a great picture of Daniel sitting beside Lupita Nyong'o, who's also sitting next to Winston Duke, and all of these people are in Black Panther, but all of them are beautiful, dark-skinned black people. and just the melanin is off the charts, and it is so beautiful. So I just wanted to put in DWIDP and celebrate the melanin and also celebrate Black Panther, as I know all of you will. So that's me. That's mine out the way.
All right. And so after celebrating all that beautiful, beautiful melanin and beautiful, beautiful black men, I got a white one.
I don't know. Why? Why?
Actually, no. There's a reason. Because, okay, well, over our break, y'all might have, while y'all missed us, I got a chance to catch up on my shows. And one show I absolutely love is Peaky Blinders. And so my DWIDP pick is Cillian Murphy, who is the star of Peaky Blinders. And I swear, for a long time, I could not explain to you why I found him attractive. But since this is why, I'm going to have to give a shout out to Deanna, our friend at Nerdgasm, and just kind of point out, well, the cheekbones. He has very prominent cheekbones and like a really good face structure. And so, yeah, but I've actually been following him for quite some time because he has had some really good films. Like he was in 28 Days Later opposite Naomi Harris. And while we're speaking of print, he's actually all the way naked in that. So you want to see what he's working with? Watch 28 Days Later.
You don't even have to wait. It's also in the first damn
it's
scene.
It's at the very beginning. It is the first scene. You just see naked ass Cillian Murphy. I'm like, okay, thank you.
Oh my Jesus. Lord have mercy.
Also, what you may mostly know him for, though, I call him Christopher Nolan's muse, because he is in the entire Dark Knight trilogy, and he's also in Inception. I think he also has like an uncredited role in Dunkirk, but I loved him in the Dark Knight trilogy because he's Jonathan Crane slash the Scarecrow, and that just scared the hell out of me. But he actually auditioned to be Bruce Wayne Batman, but he didn't get it, but Christopher Nolan liked him so much, that's why he got cast as Scarecrow. Anyway,
bless his heart. He's way too short to be Bruce Wayne, but bless his heart.
Really? Yeah, oh, he's like 5'9", right?
He's a shorty. That's okay.
Yeah, 5'9". Yeah, because, I mean, well, compared to Christian Bale is pretty massive. So, but yeah, Cillian Murphy, he's, like I said, star of Peaky Blinders, and he is absolutely awesome in that show, especially when he was acting opposite Tom Hardy. They are now one of my favorite on-screen couples because they just worked so well together, and I'm so drawn to talent. So that's part of the reason why I am kind of drawn to Cillian Murphy, and other than the fact that he's pretty as fuck. And so, yeah, I'm just going to, give Cillian, you know, credit where credit is due. He's a great actor, and, you know, he's just nice to look at.
All right.
Okay, so I guess now I'll move on to Woman's Vocab. And today's Woman's Vocab word is Prison Industrial Complex. The prison industrial complex focuses on the ways the penal system overlaps with the structural similarities and profitability of links between its business and the government to military production and public punishment. In other words, the government and prison industry have overlapping interests and use tactics including imprisonment, policing, and surveillance as solutions to economic, political, and social problems. And the reason I'm going with that term this week is because Angela Davis, who I'm not sure if she coined the term, but she offers the most cogent analysis of it, and that's where I know it from. She just celebrated her 74th birthday a couple of days ago. So I wanted to give a shout out to her and thank her for putting this term and, you know, this issue into the limelight for me. This is something that I've had to start thinking about, you know, a lot lately. And so, prison industrial complex.
And the 13th explores this, right?
Yes. Yes, that is exactly what the 13th is about. You know, if for some reason you still haven't seen that, Ava DuVernay, a documentary. So, yeah, go watch that now.
on Netflix.
Yes.
So okay. happy birthday, Dr. Davis, and
yes,
thank you, Ava, for the 13th.
Yes. Okay, so that is gonna be it for Black Girl Squee this week. You can contact us at Black Girl Squee on Twitter. I am in at Indus Corner, and Didi is at Death Starter. We can both be found on Tumblr, blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. And our email is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, where you can rate us and leave us a 5-star review and leave us a message if you'd like. We are also on Google Play Podcasts, and you can also find this episode and the past archive at blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. So until next time, bye.
See what they don't understand is she don't get